Welcome to the Kenkel Fritz and Friends podcast. If you want to hear the show, you can find it on Family Life Radio. If you want to find a station near you, you can go to myflr.org or stream it online.
Are you ready to meet Jesus? I think when I hear that question, maybe you swallow hard and go, wow, already? We're talking with Ann Graham Lotz, daughter of Billy Graham, who he called the best preacher in the family, and award-winning author of numerous books, including Jesus and Me, Just Give Me Jesus, The Light of Presence. Her latest book is Preparing to Meet Jesus, co-authored with her daughter who is with us, Rachel Ruth Lotz Wright. And you guys written another book together, Jesus Followers, and then this new devotional, Preparing to Meet Jesus. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much.
And we both believe that this is the message of the hour. We believe he's soon to come back. And I know, you can come back for us at the rapture or what we think of as his return, but also come for us at death. And you never know when that's going to take place. And we just need to be ready. And I feel that I guess there's a compulsion in my heart to get this message out that God's people would pay attention and that we would get ready to meet him.
You know, I don't know if I've thought about whether I'm ready to meet him, but I am ready for him to come. I mean,
me too.
I mean, the way the world is, I'm like, Jesus, come today.
Yes.
No joke.
I agree.
I pray that.
Yeah, it is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs right now. It is nuts. But, well, you know, your book opens with a shout of sorts, kind of like what you just did just then, that Jesus is coming, and to live on the tiptoe of expectancy that at any moment we might see the one who loved and gave himself for us. Is this why you felt the need to write this book together right now?
You know, I felt the need to get the message out. And then Rachel Ruth was teaching her Bible study and going through Genesis. And Genesis chapter 24 just leaped out to her and she couldn't get away from it. So she finished teaching her Bible study, but she went back to Genesis chapter 24 because it describes Abraham as a father who's seeking a bride for his son Isaac. So he sends his servant out to look for a bride. And it's the most beautiful, if I can call it an allegory, of God the Father who sends out the Holy Spirit to look for a bride for his son. And so Rachel Ruth went through the characteristics of Rebecca and just pulled out, 21 characteristics of Rebecca, who then became the bride of Isaac, but characteristics that God the Father is looking for in the bride for his son. So I do believe, and I've felt since I was a girl, actually, but with greater intensity in the last 10 years, that the return of Jesus is drawing close. And I base that on the signs he gave in Matthew 24 and what I see in the world and just the deep conviction in my own heart. And we can get excited about that. And we look forward to his coming and we want to get out of the mess that this world is. But if you've ever thought about the first look, what is it going to be like when you first see him face to face and time stops and you have no more opportunity to get ready? It's just who you are at that moment is who you're going to be. And so it's just very important for God's people to pay attention and to focus on that first look and in the time that's left, that we would work on being prepared to meet him face to face.
Well, you mentioned Abraham seeking a wife, and I would love to hear some background seeking a wife for his son Isaac by kind of relating it to your own story, because your father played a big role in you being introduced to your husband.
Yes, that's right. It was my father was home, happened to be home the week that I finished school, and every night I was going out with a guy from my school, and my father became alarmed. So he arranged for me to have a date with an athlete from a Fellowship of Christian Athletes conference that was right across the valley. And on that end, he didn't have any way of knowing, but Danny Lotz had seen me and he was trying hard to get that date. So he got that date. Yeah. And he says, Danny's now in heaven, but he would tell you that when he first laid eyes on me, he fell in love. And so the third date, he told me that he loved me and he wanted to marry me. I told him to hit the road. I didn't want to get married. And so I went and told my father, and I thought my father's just going to get rid of Danny Lotz. And instead, my father looked at me and he said, "Ann, I think Danny Lotz is the man that you're going to marry."
Oh.
So,
wow.
So deep in my heart, I wasn't in love, but deep in my heart, I knew that was right. I knew that Danny Lotz would be the man that I would marry. And he was. We were married for almost 49 years before he went to heaven.
Wow. So, and no pressure and right there when he result. Told you yeah. that. I mean, no pressure at all.
Right. Dad, how do you think that your story reflects a little bit of Abraham, Isaac, and Rebecca?
Well, it's just the fact that Abraham selected, sent out the servant to select a bride for Isaac. But I think, you know, there may be some parallels there, but the real parallel is God the Father, who sends out the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, Jesus. Mm. And that's, you know, I can relate to it from my own personal experience, but it wasn't, my father didn't arrange my marriage, and Abraham wasn't arranging, in a sense, Isaac's marriage. And God doesn't arrange the marriage with his son. It's our choice. Mm-hmm. And Rachel makes that very clear right in the first chapter that, you know, the servant went and found Rebecca, but then she had to choose. And the father told mm-hmm. the servant, you need to make sure that she chooses to come of her own free will. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to talk about that, Rachel Ruth.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's just really sweet because Abraham, when he tells the servant, go find a bride for Isaac and don't go to the Canaanites, you know, to the wicked Canaanites, go back to my family and 450 miles away. And so the servant said, well, when I go, what if she doesn't want to come back? And Abraham said, well, then don't make her and don't take Isaac there. Just you're free from what I've asked you to do. And so it's such a beautiful picture that when God the Father sends the Holy Spirit to find a bride for his son, Jesus, it's offered to the whole world. Everybody can accept the free gift that he's offering in his son, Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross to take away our sins. And we have to just place our faith in him. We have to say, Jesus, forgive me. I want you to forgive me of my sins. Come live inside of me. And I want to go to heaven one day. And it's as simple as that. And we complicate it thinking, oh, it's good works or it can be any religion. It doesn't matter. But it is only through Jesus that we can have this right relationship with God. And then we immediately become part of his family. We become the bride. And so that's what this whole book is just to prepare our hearts. Because yes, we all want to go right now. The world is a mess. But have we stopped to think, am I ready? Have I asked Jesus to come live inside? Have I become part of the family? And that's the first criteria to be a bride, is to be a member of the family.
And it's our choice. It's our choice of, you know, our free will. Yeah. We have to choose freely mm-hmm. to put our trust in Jesus. And when we do, we become his bride.
Yeah. So, you know, Misty and I were talking and laughing even just a little to think about the reality of what was being asked of Rebecca. I mean, because of you, Rachel Ruth, and the way you were able to parallel her story to who we are today, I love it. So I was laughing with Misty. I said, can you imagine if a stranger came to town and said, hey, hop on my camel, we're going to travel 500 miles and you're going to marry somebody you've never even laid eyes on. And yet there is this beautiful parallel to our accepting Jesus, as you were just pointing out, that it's a simple yes, and then we grow the relationship. So Rachel Ruth, wow. Tell me about when this came to you, that you were able to encourage so many people with this parallel.
Because I had taught it in Bible study, and then I kept thinking about it. I actually spoke at a bridal shower, and I used little characteristics out of Rebecca. And then I kept thinking, and I actually had two severe, rare heart attacks a year and a half ago, SCAD, spontaneous coronary artery dissection. And so anyhow, I almost died. I mean, I should have died. There's no explanation except that God just brought me back, because I was almost gone. And so it was in the recovery of the heart attacks. I couldn't do anything. I had to sit on the couch for months. And I wrote this book, because it's not just the rapture when Jesus comes back, you know, that we're hoping for and praying for the church to be raptured, but you can meet him any day. You could have heart attacks. You could be in a car accident. You could have cancer. And are we prepared to meet Jesus? And Rebecca, you know, it really is such a sweet story, because she never saw Isaac face to face until that wedding day. And she went off of what the servant was telling her. And so as the servant talked about Isaac, and as she saw, she could see it was obvious that the Lord wanted her, that she was the picked one, the chosen one to come. And then she chose to follow. And so we talked about how when they were traveling on the camels, those 450 miles, you know, she was asking him, what is he like? What does he look like? And all this stuff. And she was falling in love with him before she ever saw him face to face. And that is what's going to happen with us as we fall in love with Jesus, as we study his word, as we look inside and prepare our hearts. When we see him face to face, we're already in love with him. We already love him, you know, and it's not like a, you know, that marriage kind of love, but it's a God the Father love that you just long to be with him and see him.
Well, love it.
You know, yeah. There are people listening right now that might be thinking, you know, I want to be ready to meet the Savior, but, you know, I've got time. What would you say to them?
Obviously, they need to think again, because our headlines are filled with news of people who go to bed one night and they don't wake up in the morning. And I think of people in Maui, you know, in Hawaii, mm-hmm. that all of a sudden things happen so fast, they didn't even have time to get out of the danger zone. And, you know, I know that we faced all that with COVID and some of those issues. You just never know. And it can be a disease, it can be a disaster, it can be an accident, it can be just old age. You know, you just, God does not promise us tomorrow. And to count on tomorrow to cement your eternal life and make that decision. And that's one reason, you know, in this story, it was so interesting because when the servant found Rebecca and he asked her if she would go and she said she would, then her brother said, well, let's just keep her for a couple of weeks. You know, we just want to, you know, let her get her things together. And the servant was so wise. He said, oh, no. He said, I've come this far. We're going to take her now. And if she would go, which she said she would. But, you know, to delay during that delay, and you say you'll get ready tomorrow, you're just not ready to do it, then who knows, if you wait for a more convenient time, it'll never come. So that's what the Bible says. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when people are watching this and listening to this, and this is the time. Don't put it off. And in fact, one reason you don't want to put it off is because we need every moment from now until we see Jesus face to face to get ready. You know, who wants to meet him just sort of by the skin of your teeth? You know, I want to be as pleasing to him as I possibly can be. And those are, that requires choices and habits and the day-to-day issues that Rachel talks about in one chapter, mm-hmm. just a faithful in the day-to-day responsibilities as the Holy Spirit works in our lives to make us like Jesus. And that just takes time. So I'm thankful. I look forward to Jesus coming. I want him to come back. But actually, I'm glad he hasn't come yet because I still have time to get ready.
You know, I just think about the benefits of being close to God. Why would you not want to hang out with Jesus the rest of your life? There's no downside to that. I mean, there really isn't.
Yeah. One of the things that the servant did when he came and he found Rebecca and told the story about how the father had sent him to find her, he opened up. I don't know how many camels he had. I can't remember, but 10 camels. And they were covered with baskets and treasure. They were loaded down with treasures. Mm-hmm. So he opens up these treasure boxes and there are jewels and silks and linens and gold. And so he just, you know, showered her with gifts that gave her an indication of how wealthy Isaac was. And the Holy Spirit, as he guides us through life, he also gives us gifts. And not gold, silver, silks, and linen. He gives us joy that's not dependent upon our circumstances. He gives us hope. Even when we look at the world melting down, we know this life is not all there is, that we're going home. He gives us his love that's unconditional. So all the times we fail and make mistakes, he's right there to pick us back up, to love us. And, you know, there's so many. I have made an alphabetical list of all the gifts, or at least one list. I won't go through that, but there's so many that he gives us, and the Holy Spirit showers us with these all these blessings in heavenly places. It gives us an indication of how absolutely glorious our bridegroom is, and in the journey, it helps us anticipate seeing Jesus face to face, and it gives us joy in the journey. Yeah. So,
what do you think it actually means to be the bride of Christ?
It means to be in a relationship with Him, a love relationship with Him. And He describes the church that way in Ephesians, but the church is not meaning the First Baptist down the block or First Presbyterian. It's not an organized church. It's an organic church. It's people, you who asked Jesus to come into your heart and committed your life to Him, and you've been born again into God's family. And Misty, who's confessed her sin, put her trust in Jesus, Holy Spirit comes in, she's born again into God's family. Rach Ruth has done the same. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit within each one of us sort of knits us together into one description is the body of Christ. But then Ephesians says that that body of Christ is His bride. Mm-hmm. So we're the ones that's when He went to the cross, it said He despised the shame, He endured the cross for the joy that was set before Him. And the joy is you and me, redeemed humanity, that He would call to Himself and work within us to make us the people that He originally created us to be. Mm-hmm. So we fulfill the potential, we become the person that He wants us to be. And so the bride is collective. I look at it individually for sure, you know, but collectively it's the body of Christ who one day will be taken to heaven to live with Him forever and ever. And we're going to enjoy things that the Bible says no mind can comprehend, eye has not seen, ears have not heard. It's more wonderful than we can possibly imagine.
And He's not going to divorce us. There's no divorce in heaven.
Yes.
Yeah. I know that's, if I can say that, that's what I was thinking too, because it's a love relationship.
Yeah.
And I don't know if anybody that's listening is in a bad marriage and you think, I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want, you know, a part of another to be a bride and have to go through that. And if you get to know Jesus through the pages of the Bible, you will see He is loving and compassionate and thoughtful and kind, and He's on your side, and He's not, you know, breathing down your neck and pointing His finger at you, and you will fall in love with Him. He's so kind, and He is wooing us, you know, to this wonderful relationship with Him that will just continue and be even that much better when we get to heaven. And so this book is not to be a drudgery. It's not to go, oh, I've got 21 things to work on and I just don't want it. I don't want to hear about it. But it should be when you love Jesus and you read these things, you can't help but want to work on those things. You can't help but want to be kind and want to be faithful in the day-to-day, all the different things that we talk about. And so I just hope that you don't let how on earth sometimes marriage can be not good. It's not like that with the Lord.
You know, one of the things, if I can bring out, Rachel's oldest daughter has just gotten married. Mm-hmm. And so her husband's in the military, but she's, you know, setting up housekeeping in a condominium near the base. And it's so fun to see her wanting so badly to be a good wife, you know, and she's wanting to please her new husband. And she's thinking about what he needs and what he might like and what she can do for him. And it's all motivated by the fact that she's in love with him. It's really sweet.
That's right.
And been very, very special to have all that going on as we're finishing this book.
You've talked about Rebecca's willingness, her yes, which was the crucial first step, you know, for being ready to meet Jesus. What are some other qualities that are found in her that we could implement in our own lives as we're preparing to meet Jesus face to face?
Well, I think there's a couple, but one thing that we've talked about is that I think it's the second chapter. It's faithful in the day to day. And she had no idea that the servant was sitting there watching the well, watching the women walk out to the well. And so she would have no idea that there was a guy that is trying to find a bride for like a prince, you know, back home. And so she was just doing what she was supposed to do, her daily chores. She had the jar. She was going to the well to fill up it with water instead of. She could have been over talking to her friends or sitting down and saying, you go to the well, I don't want to go, and missed being seen by that servant because she was faithful in the everyday ho-hum. And I just find in my own life where I can get so, where I don't want to do the everyday ho-hum, you know, where it's doing the dishes or cleaning up the bathroom or folding laundry or going to the grocery store. And those things, sometimes my attitude's not great in it. And so for me to look inside myself and say, why is it not? You know, you can glorify the Lord in the middle of doing the everyday chores that aren't glamorous and wonderful, but God is watching, just like the servant is watching, God is watching. And so there's that. And she was kind to the servant when he asked for water and she said, yes, I'll give you water. I mean, she had to go fill this thing up and it's heavy. And she gave him water. And then she said, I'll feed your camels. And that every camel, and they're thirsty. They've just come from the desert. They think probably would have had 35 gallons of water each. So to fill that jar up over and over and over, that is hard work. And she completed it. You know, she was honest and she finished it. She did what she said she was going to do. And so all these little characteristics pull out great ones that we can look at ourselves and see if we can.
I love the one that she's faithful in the day to day. And I was thinking a little while ago, my mother had a sign over the kitchen sink that said divine service will be conducted here 3 times daily. And just the idea that, you know, even doing the dishes and preparing the food as done unto the Lord is divine service. And I think sometimes we think the mundane day-to-day stuff is drudgery, but it's our attitude that makes the difference and how we do it. So I put that same sign over my kitchen sink, and then I have over the stove a hand-painted tile that says, serve the Lord with gladness. You know, that it's not enough just to do the divine service. We need to do it with joy and with gladness. And it's interesting in scripture to me, the different characters who encountered God when they were doing the day-to-day, like Moses, who was keeping his father-in-law's sheep, and that's when he saw the burning bush, or David, who was keeping the sheep when Samuel sent for him, and he came and was anointed the second king of Israel, or Gideon, who was threshing the wheat in the wine press, or different ones who were just going about a normal day to day. And that's when they were aware of God's attention and developed a wonderful relationship with God that resulted in being a blessing to many other people.
So, you know, when you're doing menial tasks, that's what I've noticed. For some reason, you get these divine downloads. It's like you're just standing in the bathroom shaving and wow. Well, God, that was good. Yeah, you know, and I think about my wife and I have a daughter diagnosed with multiple special needs, and so there's a lot of care that goes along with her. And while I'm taking care of her, I could watch TV or I could think about God. You could do whatever you want. You're free to do with your mind whatever you want to put your mind to, and why not think about God? Why not praise Him in that time?
Yeah, that's right. And I think it's very important, actually, because I think the enemy of our souls is trying to capture our minds.
Yep.
And the things that he brings before us, whether it's pictures or audios or music, you know, video, that he's trying to capture our minds. And so the discipline of your mind, and that's where, you know, the Bible says we're to cleanse our minds with the washing of the water of the word. So as you read your Bible, you apply it, you live it out, you spend time in prayer, you can wash your mind. And it's very important to do, because we can get sucked into things that, waste our minds, waste our time, lead us in the wrong path, and something we'll regret later. And one of our regrets, I think, is that when we see Jesus, we won't be ready, because we've wasted our time. We've wasted the opportunities he gave us. So this little book is just trying to bring people's focus to the fact that we need to be ready. We need to expect to see Jesus at any moment, whether it's through death or his return, and be prepared for that first look.
I like that. Wash your mind. That's your all's next book is Wash Your Mind. That's good.
Need some scrubbing.
That's right.
You know, as you studied for this book and you took a look at basically 21 challenges, I'm going to challenge you right now with one of the words that is so scary this day, which is submission. And you really took that on in a way that just so touched my heart. Talk to me about how you decided that this should be one of the 21 challenges.
Well, as I was reading through it, because it's actually something like I've never liked the word submission, because you know, I'm strong and I'm independent and I can get it done. And so, you know, and I think sometimes what makes submission hard is who you're submitting to. And so when you think of God and submitting to him, it's not submitting to, a horrible boss or a bad husband or whatever. It's submitting to somebody who loves you with all of his heart to the point that he would send his son to die for you. And so when Rebecca was, you know, probably sitting at the table and the servant is sitting there talking through his whole process of Abraham sending to find a bride and everything starts clicking in her mind. I'm just imagining it, you know, her sitting there and everything's like, wait, he's talking about me, you know, I'm going to be the bride. He wants me to be the bride of Isaac and go leave my family. And she could have freaked out. She could have just been like, are you crazy? I am not leaving my home and I've got friends and I like this boy down the street and I had all these plans for my life and now I'm going to have to leave and I don't know when I'll ever be back. There's so many things that the enemy could have attacked her with and could have brought to her mind so that she would not submit to the obvious plan of the Lord in her life. But she didn't listen to it. She followed the Lord. She submitted to God's plan and look at what happened and look at what would have happened if she hadn't. And she became the bride of Isaac and the patriarchs of our whole, you know, of the Jewish people, of the Christianity and that all that came from them and the fact that she entered into that marriage and what an opportunity, what a blessing to bless so many people for thousands and thousands of years because she was willing to submit to God's plan in her life and God's will.
And I think one of the things too, the devil tries to convince us of is if we submit to God, somehow he's going to do something we don't like or we'll come up with less than what we could have gotten for ourselves. And in my experience, as well as Rebecca's, it's the opposite is true, that when I submit to God and I yielded my life to him, his plan for my life was so much bigger than I could have ever come up with on my own. Yeah. And Rebecca, as a result of her submission, she became somebody that we're talking about, you know, about 3,000 years later. And so I think the devil wants to convince us that God wants less for us than we want for ourselves. And actually, that was the temptation in the Garden of Eden with when the devil tried to tempt, Adam and Eve and make them think that God is not good, that God is holding out on you, that he doesn't want you to have as much as you want to have. And that plunged the whole human race into a mess. So God is good. And to be convinced of his goodness, that he wants the very best for you. Mm-hmm. His plan and purpose for you is to give you hope and a future and blessing upon blessing, much more wonderful than you could ever plan out for yourself. So I think that point of submission is key in the Christian life, that we yield ourselves. In fact, it's, I guess you would say that's one of the takeaways that we get from the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus on his knees before the cross said, deliver me from this, but not my will, but yours. And he was submitting to his Father's will. And as a result, of course, he went to the cross, he died. But we forget sometimes that after his death comes the resurrection and the glory and the crown. And that submission was a key to unlocking the fullness of God's blessing, not only for him, but in our lives and for Rebecca also.
And I was thinking too, sometimes that means there's going to be hard things in your life. And it doesn't mean everything's going to be great and rosy and wonderful. You can have heart attacks. You can have cancer. You could have a rebellious child, all these different things that are hard. But I'm telling you, we can testify that through those things, there is joy, there is peace. And when I was really minutes away from dying, I had such peace. I had so much peace to the point that I prayed. I said, Lord, just take care of my girls. And he brought me back to life. And so when you submit your life to him, even through the hard things, he walks you through them. He takes care of you. He's kind. And one day we will be free from all the hard things in heaven. So this is just like a boot camp right here. But it's what a time to submit to a loving Father.
Yeah. Amen.
Beautiful.
You know, when you think about preparing to meet Jesus, I could see this going into an unhealthy attitude right off the bat, because you think, well, I'm not good enough. I really got some cleaning up to do. And I know that's not the direction that you guys are going. How do you find a healthy balance of, wow, that's an overwhelming thought, but yet you want to be prepared for him too. Mm-hmm. How do you guys balance that?
I don't know that I try, because I just come, I'm just honest, because I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. You know, there are a lot of things that are not right in my life, right. but I don't want to stay there.
Right.
So that's yesterday. Today, I have the choice, like Rebecca, right. to go with this man, to yield my life to God, to ask him to work in me that which is pleasing to himself. And God, you know, when we submit to him like that and we yield him, then God, the Holy Spirit who lives in us, he takes that on as his responsibility. And the Holy Spirit loves us. When we do the right thing, he rejoices. We do the wrong thing. You know, he can convict us and can grieve for us. And so as we yield our life to him, he'll let us know things that are not pleasing, and he'll help us make that adjustment and put things out of our lives that shouldn't be there, bring things into our lives that should be there. And it's a journey. It's a process. It's not overnight. But don't stay in that guilt. Don't stay in that regret. Don't stay in that, you know, feeling like you're not worthy. That's why God sent Jesus, because none of us is worthy. Yeah. And he, you know, I love that Revelation 4:5, worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive all power, honor, wisdom, glory. Jesus is the only one who is worthy. Nobody is worthy. I don't care what they say or what you think of them. Nobody is worthy. And it's the Holy Spirit within us that begins to mold and make us into the image of Jesus, so that one day, verse John says, when we see him, that old nature, that sinful nature is going to drop off, and we're going to be like him.
And that's good.
My prayer is, according to 1 John, is that when I see him, I won't be ashamed at his coming. I'll, you know, not that anybody will have done enough. None of us can, you know, be pleasing enough or have done enough, but I want to be better today than I was yesterday. And I want to be more like him, you know, tomorrow than I am today. So it's a growth process. And he knows exactly when that time comes to come get us. And I just pray at that point that all of us will be as ready as we possibly can be, and then we'll enjoy living with him forever.
The sweetest moments on the show that we get up early for every single day of the week is the phone calls that come in with saying people are experiencing a new life. So what you're describing is a relationship that has to grow. It starts at the basement usually, and we work our way up. And every day that faith and trust should be growing. And yes, I think that's what you mean. That's what I hear about not feeling ashamed, because God removes that. He sees us on the journey like a mother encouraging her little baby who stood up for the first time and fell down.
Yes.
He's like, good job. Let's do that again. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Thank you for that.
Rachel, Ruth, you said something that may have caught somebody off guard.
Oh.
Because you talked about how you almost died. Talk about that.
So a year and a half ago, I went in for a routine stress test. You know, just I had a healthy heart, no cholesterol problems or anything. And you get on the treadmill, and I won't go into the details, but the appointment was a disaster. It was awful. And and I left with chest pain. I'd passed out, and anyhow, left with chest pain. And I was healthy. I was in shape, and I couldn't figure out for 4 days. My chest was hurting, and I thought, I didn't know what was going on. My regular doctor was like, oh, it's just acid reflux. You know, you'll be fine. Ooh. And 4 days later, I was at a UNC Tar Heels basketball game on the front row. Some people had given us some tickets, and I knew at that point, I knew it was my heart. And so we got back to the car and got home, and I called. And anyhow, I had to be rushed on an ambulance to the hospital. And it was there that they did a heart cath the next morning and realized I was having a SCAD heart attack, which is when spontaneous coronary artery dissection, when the inside of your artery shreds. And so it was a little one at that point, that Sunday morning, and they said it'll heal on its own, even though it was severe pain. It was awful, but they said it'll heal on its own, and they almost let me go home. But God, in his perfect sovereignty, had another person come in and say, hey, let's just keep her for a couple days. And the next day, I had a massive SCAD heart attack, and one of my arteries shredded from the top to the bottom. And mom and my sister were in the room, and She was, I remember her praying over me. I lost all the feeling in my body, and I knew I was going, you know, but God, I literally, after I prayed for the Lord to take care of my girls, I felt what felt like a finger. It must've been the finger of the Lord just going across my heart. And all of a sudden all the blood came back and they rushed me to the OR for another heart cath and had to put in all these stents, but, and it's still, you know, still a healing process. It's not, I still have heart pain and stuff, but God brought me through, and I was 47, I was healthy, and I never would have expected that. And I didn't get the COVID shot, so it's not from that if you're wondering, but it was just a freak, thing that happened in my life. But if I died, it would have been okay because I know where I'm going. I have a relationship with Jesus, and I asked him in my heart when I was a little girl. And so that wasn't, you know, that I knew I was going to be okay, but bad things happen, you know, hard things happen in all of our lives. And it's a struggle every day, you know, with different things that we are dealing with, but that's the beauty. And that's what I hope this book pulls out, because it is the beauty of a relationship with Jesus. You are not alone. He is with you and he's cheering you on to work on these different characteristics. And so I hope that this will be a gentle push each day. Mm-hmm. We'll just be gently walk you through that, not a hammer and condemning, and but just a gentle way to walk through.
And some of them could even be encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
and we've put in at the end of each one, there's a challenge to just make the application to your life. And then when we finished writing that chapter, then I just wrote down the prayer that was in my heart. Mm-hmm. So those prayers are really prayers I have for myself as mm-hmm. well as other people on this journey. And so we're, the neat thing is that we're on a journey together, yes. You know, we're, and so I pray that some of those chapters you'll be encouraged as you apply these characteristics to your life. And I pray in the 21 weeks that you'll experience growth that you can see, that other people can see, and that will encourage you.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Well, another example, Anne, right there of you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's exactly right.
So, yeah, no might as well be hanging
From
out
one
with Jesus.
To the next.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. Yeah. Preparing to meet Jesus, a 21-day challenge to move from salvation to transformation. Thank you so much, ladies, for your time. Been great.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We've enjoyed our conversation. Appreciate your interest and your help in letting other people know about it.
You're welcome. Yeah.
What a joy. What a treasure. Thank you so very much.
Absolutely.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Kinkle Fritz and Friends podcast, heard on Family Life Radio. We would appreciate it so much if you could rate, review, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. You can also find more exclusive content at myflr.org and FLR Mornings on both Facebook and Instagram. And if you support Family Life Radio, thank you.